Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What a Tuesday we have. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, this is Fox Sports Radio and FS1. 1 hour from now, our Herd hierarchy, the Tennessee Titans finally getting love. What do we do with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? 1 hour from now, the Herd hierarchy, and Joy Taylor is joining me. The Pittsburgh-Miami girl is going to get her Tua time. It is official.
Tua time!
It'll be fun.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Listen, Fitzpatrick is an amazing man.
Yes.
He's done a fantastic job.
Yes.
No sarcasm whatsoever. He's done a fantastic
Great
job.
Great job.
Completely bought into the role. But it's time. I know you're excited.
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's great. Can't wait.
You're on Tua documentary.
So let's start with the Cowboys. What makes a great friend makes a lousy NFL owner. What makes a great friend, I want my friends to be fun, and I want them to be loyal. But what makes a good owner, not really into fun in New England. I like them bottom line, and I don't want them too loyal. Got to cut that guy. Can't pay that guy. Jerry Jones is a great friend. He's a bad owner, and he's gotten worse. Dallas is the only huge, iconic brand in American sports. I don't see them turning this around anytime soon. And iconic brands have two things going for them. Because they all take a downturn, right? They all take a downturn outside of Duke basketball. They all take a downturn. Is that they can either buy their way out of trouble, because big brands have huge revenue, or they can attract people to get them out of trouble. Take the Lakers. They were bad for years and years and years and years, the last five with Kobe. But they were attractive. The brand was attractive to LeBron, who attracted AD. They won a title. Take the Yankees in 2007. They were just meh, but they had a lot of money, huge revenue. They bought CC, Sabathia, and Mark Teixeira, World Series. Ohio State football, Alabama football, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, backed up the Brinks truck. Little rocky, things not going well. Iconic brands are fast healers. The Cowboys, though, are trapped. Because they have a great friend in Jerry Jones. He's emotional, and he's fun, and he's loyal, but he's not a good owner. In the last 2 days, you've watched Zeke play football and Derrick Henry. They're not close. The Titans paid Derrick Henry $51 million. The Cowboys pay Zeke $90 million, and they're locked into him for years. Because Jerry wanted to take care of him, because Jerry's loyal. And Jerry paid Jalen Smith early, and he paid him too much. Why? Because he was supposed to be a top 10 pick, but Jerry felt loyalty, and he loved the story, and he got emotional, and he's a good friend, and he paid him early, and Jalen Smith now is kind of expensive. And he found Dak in the fourth round, and he loves Dak, and he's going to pay Dak a fortune, and Dak is good, but he's not $40 million good or $35 million good. And he hired Mike McCarthy. Outdated, Jurassic, old, because he wouldn't challenge Jerry Jones. Ego. Dallas is all about ego and pride, about emotion. Jerry's a great friend. He is fun. He is loyal. He is emotional. He's not a good owner. You got good players getting huge money all over the place. And Jerry feels that loyalty, and he pays Zeke, and he pays Jalen Smith, just like CeeDee Lamb. That was fun, Jerry. First round, Oklahoma kid. Ah, Big 12 country. Jerry's from Big 12 country. I'm going to buy him. Like Cowboy fans in Oklahoma, I'm going to get CeeDee Lamb. Good player. That was fun, Jerry. That was fun, Jerry. They don't need a wide receiver. Good God, they can't get the ball to the ones they have. They needed a cornerback or a good safety or an offensive tackle because Tyron Smith coming into this year was no longer a 16-game player. New England's bottom line, emotion is weakness. Fun is viewed as silly. That's what I want from my owner. From my friend, I want fun and loyal. I've always said there's four positions in the NFL that matter. Owner, GM, coach, and quarterback. If you're an A to an A-minus to a B-plus, you're a Super Bowl team every year. Dallas isn't a B-plus at best in any of them. The truth of this operation in Dallas, they should rip it down to the studs and start over. Outside a wide receiver, where are they great? Nowhere. They're old on the offensive line and now untalented. The defensive line's hit and miss. The secondary's bad. The coaching is bad. This is a rip it down to the studs operation. They haven't gotten to a conference championship in, what, 14, 15 years? There's like seven teams in the league that haven't. The others are the Browns, Cincinnati, 25 years, my bad. My bad, 25 years. Haven't gotten to a conference championship. If you look at the other teams that haven't gotten to a conference championship in 25 years, it's the teams we make fun of. We roll our eyes at Cleveland and Cincinnati and Washington, Detroit and Buffalo and Miami. We roll. That's what Dallas is. This is not a new thing. We make fun of those teams. It's time to rip it down to the studs and start over. But there's too much pride. There's too much fun. There's too much loyal. There's too much emotion. Jerry would be a great friend. Every year he holds camp in Los Angeles up in like Oxnard, and he hosts these parties. And they're legendary. Everybody gathers around Jerry, and he's smart, and he's funny. He's the great American storyteller. He's like Garrison Keillor with a cocktail. He just got all sorts of stuff to talk about. It's not what I want my owner to be. I want him to be bottom line. I don't want him to be emotional. I want him to be a really rich accountant. Sometimes I don't want him to pay guys I like. Say no, Zeke. We're not paying you 2 years early. Jalen Smith, I like you a lot, but I'm not paying you yet. Dak, here's a franchise tag. Bottom line, here's what it is. It's too bad. It's a great American brand, and they always heal faster than all the other teams. They go get an Urban Meyer. They go get a LeBron James. They go get a great coach. They get a Nick Saban. I think this franchise is trapped. Jerry Jones this morning on those who question the investment he has put into his star players.
Well, I feel bad that we didn't play better than we played last night and that we're sitting here at 2-4. We can compete at a higher level than we've been competing because we're shooting our own self in the foot. We've got a fresh staff, and we've got football players out there that were recognized 2, 3, 4 weeks ago as some of the best you can get.
Don't let pride get in the way if you win the NFC East. It is an abysmal conference. This is a rebuild. Well, there was another game yesterday. It was on Fox. It was the good game. It was the game that was really fun to watch. First bad weather game in the NFL. Kansas City beat Buffalo. Here's what I love about the Chiefs. And we all love Patrick Mahomes. He's the greatest raw quarterback talent in the game. Awesome. Next 15 years. Can't wait to watch. But what I love about it is they didn't rely on him yesterday to win. A good quarterback should be used a little like salt. It makes everything better, but you can put too much salt on stuff. Josh Allen, the Bills now, their defense stinks. They're way, way reliant on Josh Allen in Buffalo. He was bad. They were bad. For years and years, Green Bay has been too reliant on Favre and too reliant on Aaron Rodgers. And when Aaron plays bad Sunday, the Packers get housed. When he played bad last year 2 or 3 times, they got housed. Patrick Mahomes yesterday was perfect. Andy Reid said 8, 9 times, go be special. 21 of 26 ran around, but the team ran over 45 times. I know fans want the Patrick Mahomes who faced Jared Goff, that Monday Night Football game, and 6 touchdown passes. It's unbelievable. But they lost that game. That game yesterday, good luck beating Kansas City. And Andy Reid, who, by the way, lesson learned in Philadelphia, often struggled to run the football, said, you know what? I'm going to add Le'Veon Bell to this. Last year, Kansas City, 23rd in rushing. This year, 6th, and they just added the still-talented Le'Veon Bell. Quarterback should be a little like salt. Makes everything in the world better. Make a steak better. Make your eggs better. Makes everything better. You can put it. But you can douse your stuff in salt, and it takes away the taste. This team last night, yesterday, that is going to be tough to beat. That team can match up with Tennessee. That team can run at Baltimore. That team can match up with Cam in New England. That team matches up with Tom Brady in that defense. The other team is really fun to watch in Kansas City. But I don't think they'll be as good as what I saw yesterday and what we'll see with Le'Veon Bell going forward. Ask Mahomes to be special 8-9 times, but don't solely rely on him to carry you from deficits. All right, coming up next. It was a mirage. You thought you saw something, and then the closer you get to it, you realize you didn't see something. Thoughts on Dak and Dalton, the comparisons, and that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rec is Rec Tech more than a grill. It's a lifestyle built by grillers for grillers. Smart grill technology, RECTEQ.com, RecTechWithAQ.com. I've always, we were talking about this morning. And listen, we know that Dak's better than Andy Dalton. Dak is a franchise quarterback. Dalton was a franchise quarterback. He's 32. I don't think anybody can win right now at Dallas. I think the coaching's bad. The defense is terrible. The offensive line, after Zach Martin got hurt last night, Dallas now has 5 backups. It's a mess. They have a great wide receiving core. But even Zeke now is not trustable. Nobody can win with this team. Well, Carson Wentz can. Carson Wentz can win with this team and Mahomes and Russell Wilson. But I feel like Dallas has been chasing this Dak mirage since his rookie year. So he's a fourth rounder. He goes 13-3. Every year since then, it's gotten worse. And every year they've relied on him more, it's gotten worse. But that year was a mirage. It really was. They had the best offensive line easily in the NFL. We were calling it one of the best offensive lines ever. Zeke wasn't beat up. Zeke was he was led the NFL in rushing. They played a last place schedule. They played the AFC North, which had that year one winning team, and they played the NFC North, where Detroit was actually viable that year. It was a mirage. The more the Cowboys take away his rookie year, have leaned on Dak, he's 29-25. With 40% of those wins coming against the Giants in Washington. That's not to say he's not a franchise quarterback. That's not. He's better than Dalton, but he's going to cost you $35 to $40 million a year, and Andy cost you $3 million. Now, Dak is better, but he's going to be very expensive, and he's going to get a contract. But I find too many people worried about what Dak's going to make. You know who we worry about quarterbacks and their contracts? Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Dak. They're good. We never talk about Russell Wilson's contract. We never talk about Aaron Rodgers' contract. I don't even know what Tom Brady makes now. And after about 2 days, who gives a rip what Patrick Mahomes make? We talk about how great they are. The reality is the more Dallas has relied on Dak, which is not fair, the worse the team gets. They're a 500 team since that first year, with 40% of their wins coming against the Giants and the Washington football team. That is not to say Dak isn't good. Dak is good. I like Dak. I like the leadership stuff more than the accuracy and the arm stuff, but he is somebody I could build around. But I feel like Dallas is just chasing Dak's rookie year. They're just chasing it. He is a complementary piece. He is not Mahomes. He's not close to Russell Wilson. I mean, just to show you, and a lot of people for the last couple of years, I'm not the only one to say this, we've all said this, that a lot of Dak stats are a little deceiving. They trail in every game. They give you an example of what stats mean very little. Andy Dalton last night had more first downs than Arizona, dominated time of possession, 3 for 3 on fourth down, 34 of 54 for 270 yards, and was never really competitive against a quarterback, Kyler Murray, that completed 9 passes. I don't want to hear about stats. Mahomes yesterday was terrific. He didn't have a big stat game. He did against the Rams on Monday Night Football years ago and lost. Again, if you gave Dak Matt Nagy, Dak Sean McVay, Dak Kyle Shanahan, maybe Dak is great. But Jerry's not going to get that kind of coach, because that kind of coach is going to demand power and control of the offense, and he's not. They're not going to take Kellen Clemens, Jerry's friend. The bottom line, Dak with this staff and this defense, Andy Dalton with this staff and this defense, neither is going to win big games against good teams. And yes, Dak is better. We know that. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, according to Adam Schefter, the Dolphins are going to name Tua as their starting quarterback.
How much fun is that? No, it's a week 7 story. It's a new fresh story.
It is. And it's going into their bye, and they will be playing the Rams coming out of their bye, which would explain why Aaron Donald is trending right now. He'll be replacing Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was 18 of 27, 191 yards with 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions this Sunday against the Jets. This season, he's had over 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Tua did make his NFL debut against the Jets in garbage time. He was 2 for 2 with 9 yards. He last played in a football game with Alabama on November 16th of 2019. As I said, they're on a bye this week, so he will get his first start against the LA Rams.
And he'll get all first-team reps. So what he's really going to get is 2 weeks, 10 practices, first-team reps, and that'll... Listen, I think it's catching all of us a little by surprise because Ryan Fitzpatrick had played really well. We knew he would play, and I do wonder, Joy, that Justin Herbert came in and was so spectacular.
I think he started the clock.
I do. Joe Burrow and Herbert are so good. You say to yourself, the game now is built for offense. We thought Buffalo had a great defense last year. They can't stop anybody. Who's got a great defense outside of Pittsburgh right now? So I think you look at it and you look around the league and you're like, let's see what we got here for 8 weeks.
Well, I know Dolphins fans are freaking out. And to Dolphins fans, I would say, please stop being delirious for once in your existence, okay? The Dolphins are 3-3, all right? They just beat the Jets, who are by far the worst team in the league. Yeah. San Francisco with a hobbled Jimmy Garoppolo. Calm down. It's not about this year. Every single year, the Dolphins win a couple games in a row, and Dolphins fans start freaking out. We're on our way to the Super Bowl. Relax. That's not what's happening. We haven't had a franchise quarterback since Dan Marino.
Right.
It is not about this year. Fitzpatrick knows that. He's been incredible.
Yeah.
He's bought into the role of being the vet and the mentor to Tua perfectly. You saw him on the sideline cheering when Tua got in. He's not living in some alternate reality where he's the quarterback of the future. He knows that.
Yeah.
And you know what you have with Fitz.
Yeah.
He's been playing great. We're 3-3. The Bills just lost to the Titans, who might be the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, like Miami, this Kansas City's really good. Tennessee's really good. New England with Cam, I think, will be good. Baltimore's really good. And there's even teams like Denver and the Chargers, who, depending on a Sunday, can be really good. Like, Miami's got to chill a little bit.
Calm down.
Yeah.
This is the right move.
Yes.
And it's actually at the right time because you want to give Tua extra time to prepare for an LA Rams team that is still a very good team, despite what their last week has looked like.
Yeah, it's at home. It's in Miami, right?
Yes. It's Rams at home, then they're at the Cardinals, then they have the Chargers at home. This is the right move.
Yeah.
You're building for the future. And as you mentioned, Herbert came in right away, has been successful. Burrow, despite the situation in Cincinnati, looks great. You have to see what you have in Tua.
Yeah.
You have to see what you have. Because if God forbid, Tua doesn't turn out to be what you thought he was,
you
have to draft someone else.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really, this sounds ridiculous. But if you give him 8 starts and you're like, you know what? A little small, doesn't have the escapability we thought. It's not crazy to think you draft somebody else because you're going to have 2 first 10 top 12 picks next year, yours and Houston's. It's not crazy.
Or you'd rather just ride out the rest of the year with Ryan Fitzpatrick based off of what he's done in his career.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say some miracle happens. You happen to get a wild card bid, and you will certainly lose in the first round of the playoffs, and then you've done what?
Yeah.
Now, you've had Tua sit for an entire year. That worked for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes may end up at the end of his career being one of the greatest, like the greatest
player
of all time.
Yeah.
So just calm down a little bit. This is the right move for Tua, and I'm excited about it, obviously. So injuries keep stacking up for the Eagles, the latest being tight end Zach Ertz and running back Miles Sanders. It's getting bizarre.
Well, I said this morning in the meeting, I said, do they have field turf or grass? Because I honestly, it's like I've never seen a team fall apart for 3 straight. I was told they have grass. I can't figure this out. Everybody's hurt. Always.
Always.
They had a receiver get hurt this weekend. He was not touched. It was a deep ball up the right sideline. He bobbled it, dropped it, fell to the grass, got up, and he like limped off the field. Like, do they have concrete under there? I mean, what's happening?
It's bizarre. Ertz suffered a high ankle sprain against Baltimore. He tried to re-enter the game after the initial injury, was unable to finish. He'll likely be replaced by Richard Rodgers since tight end Dallas Goedert is on IR as well. Sanders suffered a knee injury, which will likely have him sidelined for Thursday night's game against the Giants. Ertz has 24 catches for 178 yards and a touchdown this season. And Sanders has 434 rushing yards and three touchdowns this season. They also have Lane Johnson injured with an ankle injury, Jalen Reagor, wide receivers injured, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson. But Jackson is expected to play on Thursday. So I don't
know. Oh, he is?
The injury woes continue for the Eagles. Finally, the Patriots dropped to a losing record in October for the first time since 2002. But Cam Newton isn't ready to sound the alarm yet.
There's no need to press the panic button. There's no need to, you know, start reinventing the wheel. We have the answers in that locker room. I take full responsibility of where we are as offense. And, you know, when talking about, you know, the whole big picture, I think we will be fine. And, you know, but yeah, through it all, we just have to do better when given an opportunity.
I honestly feel like they're the one team that has been really negatively affected by COVID. They're not practicing. When I watched that game, I knew within 5 minutes, Joey, it was one of my Blazing Five picks. Within 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, no, this is the wrong. I'm on the wrong side. I totally picked the wrong team. You have to practice a little. And this is the NFL. Denver came in and flew past them. By the way, even New England's defense wasn't great Sunday. So, like, when their defense struggles against the young quarterback, they don't struggle ever against young quarterbacks. Yeah. Drew Locke had a couple of bad picks later, but for the first half, up and down the field on New England.
Yeah, I mean, Belichick's record against young quarterbacks is staggering.
28-1.
Right. So, but you're right. As you saw that this wasn't the Patriots we're used to watching. I don't think there's any reason to panic about the situation.
No.
They're going to get back on track. They have the 49ers this week. Then they're at the Bills and at the Jets. Obviously, the Jets is a dub. So, the Bills, I don't think, are slipping. I think they played the two best teams in the league, and last night was kind of weird. But look, the AFC East is an interesting situation when it comes to the Patriots. We just discussed what the Dolphins are doing, and who knows? Maybe Tua comes in and he plays lights out and continues in the trends that the Dolphins fans think that they're going in. But I still think that this is the Bills' division. The Patriots getting on track in the next couple weeks. Like, we have a lot of football left. I don't think there's anything to overreact to that loss, and I don't count the loss with Cam Newton out.
Listen, Buffalo, say what you want. Buffalo, there was a ball stripped last night, and the Chiefs running back was ruled as down. That game...
I mean, he was down, though.
He was down, but I'm saying this NFL, if his knee's not on the ground, Buffalo gets it. They had momentum. Buffalo's fine. They're not a... I think they're...
Their defense is not what it was last year.
Yeah, they're fine.
They have problems on the defense.
They feel like a playoff team, but a one-and-done playoff team to me.
But I still think they'll win the AFCs.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
You know, I will say this about Kyler Murray of Arizona. He's not really anybody else in the league. He's not Russell Wilson. And later I'm going to show you, he's a more athletic Doug Flutie, but everybody in life needs a kingmaker, somebody that supports you. Nobody ever supported Doug Flutie, who was a dominant high school player, a dominant college player, a six-time MVP in the Canadian Football League, and was 21-9 in Buffalo, and they kept trying to replace him. If you look at Kyler Murray's numbers, 10 touchdowns, 6 picks, passer rating 89-90, but they put their arms around Kyler Murray. Now, Kyler Murray is shifty like nobody I've ever seen, but go YouTube Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie was a 4-5 guy running away from everybody. He took a Boston College team and beat the best college football team in the country with no pros down in Miami. Like, but nobody ever supported Flutie, 11th round pick. Somebody said, Kyler Murray, we're going to build a football team around you. And even though he's like a 90 passer rating, 10 touchdowns, 6 picks, Kingsbury's like, he's my guy. I'm into him. I don't care about his height. He was bad in the first quarter last night. Sometimes in life, you need a kingmaker. Somebody, you may not be tall enough. You may not be this, you may not be that, but somebody that puts their arms around you, and Arizona has, it's really fun. Kyler Murray may not be the best quarterback in the league. I love watching Kyler Murray play. I love watching those games. They're so much fun. It's so unique. Doug Gottlieb, All Ball is the podcast. He is now joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I said to start the show today that what makes a good friend makes a bad owner. A good friend is fun and loyal. A good owner is serious and bottom line and sometimes doesn't pay people he loves. And I watched Dallas. and they overpay, and they, you know, they, Zeke's going to get 90. Derrick Henry got $50 million. And Jalen Smith's a second-round pick, and Jerry feels like, I got him. It's a great story, and they pay him early. And I look at Dallas, and I'm like, this is why owners shouldn't get too close to running the team. Like, they, this is too much emotion, too much vanity. I think you have to – I think, honestly, Doug, I think it's a rebuild. But I think there's too much ego involved to admit it.
No, I mean, listen, like, let's not freak out, okay? I think both of us have our questions about Mike McCarthy, and those be fair. I think both of us would say the Mike Nolan hire seems to be an abject disaster to this point. But unless Mike McCarthy's a wizard or a magician, I don't know how anybody in football is going to lose their starting center to retirement, their bookend tackles for the year, and then their quarterback, who was leading the league in passer rating and was on pace to set new marks for yardage. Granted, I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the league, but you lose all that. Then you lose Zach Martin last night. What the hell did anybody expect? Right? Andy Dalton was on the market as a free agent for a reason. Andy Dalton was good in Cincinnati when he was surrounded by good players. When he wasn't, he can't rise to the team. Now he's not surrounded by any sort of offensive line. It doesn't matter what skill position players. You got no offensive line, you got no chance. So while you may be right, and we can debate Dallas and the contracts, because the truth is, the way to win the NFL is to draft well and then keep your own guys. I do think that he grabbed Jalen Smith, and because he was mad at the Zeke Elliott contract thing, and just said, give me somebody I can pay, and he paid Jalen Smith. And the DeMarcus Lawrence thing is a disaster. He's just not as good as his contract. But they have a talented team. They're not close to healthy. And I don't know what anybody expects. Like, the Eagles don't have an offensive line or wide receivers, and so Carson Wentz looks terrible. Now, take Carson Wentz out of the Eagles, put the wide receivers back in, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know what anybody expects from a team that is so depleted by injury.
So you and I were talking on the phone last night. There are pieces of data that we know Russell Westbrook's great, but everybody leaves him and they're better. That's data from eight players. You look at Aaron Rodgers. This makes no sense. He has a losing record in his career when he trails at any point in the game. He has fewer come-from-behind wins than Derek Carr, Ryan Tannehill. We know Aaron's great. Okay, but when I watch him throw his second pick against Tampa, and then he just changes, and it's dink, dunk. I'm not throwing the ball down the field. There is something about a foxhole quality about a quarterback, not a receiver, not a back. I don't like the word quit, but you saw what I saw, right? Like, after the second pick, Doug, he didn't play the same.
No, his body language was bad. Their team's body language was bad. They got their collective asses whooped.
Yep.
I'm sure he was frustrated with the line play, their inability to run the football, probably some of the play calling. You know, one thing that happened right before the interception, Robert Tonyan went down with injury. That's like his favorite little target as a tight end. And I think you and I also saw this, like, the pick six interception was kind of classic Aaron feeling himself. Like, he didn't really step in and throw it. I'm just going to fling it out there.
Yep.
And it got taken back to the house. And so I think he got leveled out. Look, I'm the biggest Aaron Rodgers defender. He's the best thrower of football I've ever seen. He checks every box. But leadership is the question mark, right? Is he a galvanizing force? While your numbers are amazing, I'd also point out that, like, Russell Wilson's only, I think, 53%, whereas he's 47%. And, oh yeah, by the way, we're watching Mike McCarthy and the dumpster fire that is the Dallas Cowboys, even before the Dak injury. And I think it maybe gives a little bit of credit to the idea that the Packers wasted the prime of Aaron Rodgers' career with an inferior coach.
Yeah.
So, look, I'll blame Aaron Rodgers for the body language. It's been bad before. It'll probably be bad again. That's part of what makes Aaron Rodgers Aaron Rodgers. Look, I've seen Tom Brady lay into dudes like he did last week in Chicago, and nobody says anything about it because he's Tom Brady. He's got six rings. But he played for a better coach and a better system for the last 20 years than Aaron Rodgers did. So I'm with you. I saw what you saw Sunday. Let's see what we see from the Packers this Sunday. Do they bounce back? Because they took a whooping like that last year with the Chargers in L.A., and they bounced back. We'll see what they do after getting their butts whooped in Tampa.
So Tua is starting, And okay, first of all, we all know it's more interesting. So you and I and Joy are all in the interesting business. It's a way I can't wait to watch the Dolphins play. But it is, it does bring up an interesting thing. Herbert has been so good, and Joey's been so good, that what if Tua comes out, Doug? And we've all said this. He's not Russell Wilson, the runaround guy. He's not ideal height. He played in a great system. And what if for like 8 or 9 games, you're the GM, and he's kind of spotty, and he doesn't look like Herbert. Herbert's big and huge, and he doesn't look like Burrow. And he's just the hip. He's not big. He doesn't and he doesn't win as much as Ryan Fitzpatrick did. Would it be outrageous to say, after 10 games, Arizona bailed on a guy, got Kyler, and we got 3 quarterbacks. We're going to have 2 picks maybe in the top 12. What am I supposed to take from Tua for the next 10 weeks?
I think you just have to see where he is. So here's the thing. You started, before you brought me on, talking about a kingmaker, and I agree, right? Like, no person has ever made it on their own without somebody important believing in them. And part of the genius to Arizona is Cliff Kingsbury is known – Kyler Murray could ball since he was in high school. He's recruiting him, and he found the perfect offense, the perfect coach. They're all in on Tua, right? I mean, you wouldn't be all in on Tua. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick played great Sunday.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong. And he was helping Tua on the sideline get ready to go in, and he was cheering for him. Like, the whole thing, he's got it down. I don't think you'll take anything from it. I don't. I think one of the things that Tua has, he does have that kind of magnetic Baker Mayfield light personality, right? He galvanizes people. Guys love him. Guys believe in him. They want him to succeed. There is no animus towards his success in college. He doesn't bring in with the certain arrogance of some of these guys. He's less athletic, I think, than Russell Wilson, but there's a lot of those characteristics to him. He does know a ton of football, and having the bye week, he'll be really well prepared. But I don't think you can make any hardcore definitions over he's going to be the Dolphins quarterback for the next decade. They wouldn't have tanked all of last year, and then he fell to them. That's the greatest thing for them. The only evaluation that was the two things that are negative towards Tua is he has that Baker Mayfield thing as well, where he thinks he's a little bit more athletic than he actually is, and that's how he's gotten hurt.
Yep.
Right. But the second part is that he's a guy who I believe can make plays when surrounded by really good talent, and it's going to take a while to develop. So I think they're all in on him. I don't think this is jealousy over Herbert or over Burrow. I think this was all part of the plan. You have a bye week. Fitzpatrick supports it. If he plays poorly, you can always put Fitzpatrick in. You know eventually it's going to be Tua's team.
Yeah. By the way, who's your – this morning, my herd hierarchy is the top of next hour. We got a minute left. It's really interesting. Who is your best team in the league today? This morning, your best team in the league?
I think it's got to be the Kansas City Chiefs, right? They're the team that you believe can because now they can run the football. That's the big thing. People forget when they lost Kareem Hunt, they couldn't run the football. They won the Super Bowl. Even despite that, now you see last night when teams are starting to take away their deep stuff, they get back to running the football. By the way, do you have Dodger fever? How can you not be fired up for baseball?
We are.
Or is it because the Dodgers had their hats on backwards the other night when they had an epic comeback and took down the very, very mighty Atlanta Braves?
I have.
Of course, like all Georgia sports teams, choked the league.
I have.
But anyway,
A-Rod.
How can you not root for Clayton Kershaw tonight? The best pitcher of the last decade in baseball, having a chance to finally eradicate the demons and win a World Series.
I have A-Rod on today. I am fired up for it. I do think they're the best team. Their bullpen, they don't have a closer. I think they're a closer away from being almost a perfect baseball team, but they don't.
Correct.
And the closers are everything in baseball postseasons. Good stuff.
Joy, I'd like to point out my beard is better than Colin's beard. And I've only been working on this for like a week.
It's a beard competition now.
This took me like
it is. It really
month.
Is. It's a very big, Movember's coming up, Colin. You doing the mustache? Are we doing mustaches for Movember?
This is what I got. This is what I'm standing. I'm not getting crazy. This is what I have. I'm good with it. This is all I have. It's all I can do. I got
to
go.
I don't know if mustache is the way to go.
No, for me, it's absolutely not. My dad did it. It looked terrible. Doug Gottlieb, Fox Sports Radio after our show. Yeah, my sister, when I started growing this facial hair, she called me. She goes, oh, I love it. She goes, just don't do what dad did. And I'm like, what? She goes, dad would go on vacation every summer and come back with a mustache. And we always said, ooh. She said, we're not a mustache family.
Yeah, mustaches are they're a commitment. It's
and
a look.
Some guys look good in them.
Yeah. And are iconic. I mean, Andy Reid's mustache.
It's not the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine him without a mustache? No.
Coming up next, One of the things I love about Belichick, he takes all these football cliches and he says, nah, I'm going to go right at him. And we've got a new Belichick. His name is Mike Vrabel of Tennessee. He doesn't care what you think. He's not interested in cliches. His way, the new way. That and Herd Hierarchy coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, I've never been a believer in absolutes. I remember when I got into this business, there was a guy that said, just never talk politics. And I said to him at the time, I said, if you're good, you can talk about anything. People won't shut you off. Howard Stern talks about religion. Howard Stern talked about politics. Howard Stern talked about anything he wants. Interesting. Nobody shuts it off. I'm not a big believer. There's an absolute way to do things. In baseball, can you imagine the first manager who called for an intentional walk? Can you imagine that? Now it's strategy. But hey, intentionally. Buck Showalter once walked Barry Bonds with the bases full. They got the next guy out. His argument was, Barry's hitting 600. I'd rather give up one run than four. Mike Vrabel is like that. Bill Belichick, by the way, was the first guy to go for it at midfield, fourth down. He was the first guy. I'm going to draft a kicker. You can't draft a kicker. Yeah, Steven Gostkowski, I'm going to draft him, and he's going to be our leading scorer. Bill Belichick was the guy that started passing on third and one because Tom Brady was so efficient. He was the first coach. Remember 2011 Super Bowl? Belichick let the Giants score. That was an unwritten rule. NFL, you make a man earn it. And he just stood up and let the Giants score because he wanted the ball back. Mike Vrabel is that new coach. Mike Vrabel of Tennessee is that new coach. Baseball, let them be the sport with too many rules, unwritten rules, written rules. Football, anything to win the game. Whatever it takes to win the game. Mike Vrabel this Sunday, late in the game, to manipulate the clock, gave Houston a first down. 12 men on the field. He purposely put 12 men on the field that would give Houston a first down. They would get a first down. He's like, I'm just going to give it to you so you don't go first, second, third. He saved 40 seconds on the clock. And when they scored eventually, there was 4 seconds on the clock. By the way, last year he did the same thing. Remember they took on New England and he had back-to-back delay of game penalties, then it burned like a minute of the clock? Yes. After the game, he was coy about it. But this is Belichick. Whatever it, we'll draft a kicker. We'll go for it in fourth down. We'll pass on third and 1.5. Stop living a life with all these rules and have to. You can't. You have to. You can't. Win games. And I've thought about this. If I have Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson, if I was Andy Reid and Pete Carroll, and by the way, Seattle's defense is terrible. And even though Pete Carroll's a defensive coach, 2.5 minutes in a game, team's down to the 8-yard line. If I'm Pete Carroll, I'd let a team score because I got Russell Wilson. And as long as you can give me Russell Wilson a couple timeouts and a minute 55, I can win. These are decisions I think coaching staffs have to have in the offseason or in a bye week. Sometimes we're just going to let somebody score. I wouldn't do it if I had Kirk Cousins, but if I had Patrick Mahomes, if I had Russell Wilson, hell, right now, Ryan Tannehill, Mike Vrabel just wanted the ball back. Mike Vrabel's a tough guy. He's like, I just want the ball back. My guys are good. We're good here, but we can't stop them today. We can't stop Deshaun Watson. They're going to score anyway. So I'll just give them a first down. We know they're going to score. It maybe saves me 40 seconds. It did. They scored with 4. I love this way of thinking. Of course, Mike Vrabel played it very coy when he was asked about it yesterday.
On that late 12 men on the field penalty against you guys, was that potentially done to stop the clock?
You know, we have to do a better job with penalties. You know, we had 7 of them, I think. Pretty uncharacteristic.
Right. But the 12 men on the field one in particular, were you trying to save some clock time by getting that call?
The second one, you know, just trying to get them to try to make a stop there and substitute it in, you know, an extra DB. But, you know, we ultimately got to do a better job on first down in 4-minute defense and not give up 9 yards.
That is so Belichick. That is so coy and so Belichick. They gave the team a first down. Get in there, score. We can't stop you. At that point, you're just looking for time. I think it's something I think about all the time as a fan. Is we've all watched games like this. There's like 2.5 minutes left. The other team's driving on you. You can't really stop him. And you're thinking to yourself, you've thought this. I've thought this. Just let him score. I got Mahomes. I got Russell Wilson. I got Aaron Rodgers. I got Tom Brady. I got Carson.
Well, when you have one of them, you can do that.
I'm not saying you do it with everybody, but Tannehill right now is elite. Tannehill's last 17 games, he's elite. I want the ball. Let him score.
Well, you can't do that.
Buck Showalter intentionally walked a run in and got the next guy out because Barry Bonds, you know, was hitting 600 at that point. Herd Hierarchy, Hour 2 in L.A. Next.